Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, 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 calling all radio amateurs. This is WD8QCN activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on the 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for technical discussion and questions and answers regarding technical topics such as equipment hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and similar information related to the radio art. I don't have a specific topic picked out for this evening as I'm filling in, but if anyone else has a suggestion, please call WD8QCN now. CKS1PPY is out there on the chat AIM board here and says he may be back shortly with the topic, so we'll go ahead and do our announcements. First of all, solar conditions for HF looking reasonably decent this week. Got a solar flux of 136, sunspot number of 51, A index of 12, K of 2 at the moment. Bands look relatively quiet. There is some DX lurking out there. There's a ZL7 floating around. That's a DX expedition, I think, was Chatham Islands. There's also the VK0 likely out there for another week. He only turns up about every 10 days or so from what I've observed. We've got the club breakfast coming up on Saturday the 24th at 8:30 a.m. That'll be at the Gainesville Wegmans. And a club meeting coming up on October 6th. That's the Thursday at 7:15 p.m. Check out the website for more information on those events. And then we have the Vint Hill Farm Special Event Station, Kilo 4 Victor. That will be operating from the 1st through the 2nd of October. We need operators for that, both sideband and CW. Those will be the only modes supported. No digital on this one, since we're trying to keep in form with the modes that would have been in use at the time that Vent Hill was operating. We'll go back and see if KS1PPY is back yet. This is WD8QCN with the FAR Technical Service Net.
WD8QCN, KS1PPY. I'm not finding anything that jumps out at me for a topic right off the top. I'm just doing a quick kind of a quick Google search, and the first one that kind of comes up is jumps to mind that I don't think I've heard discussed recently would be RF safety, like transmitter and RF safety, to how far to stay away from your antennas and things like that. But I'll keep digging through some topics. So if you think that's one that you'd like to handle, that's a quick recommendation. Otherwise, we'll keep trying to pull one from the crowd. WDAQCN, KS1PPY, back tonight.
Mississippi, no worries. If you want to take off and run with that, that's great. I don't have anything pulled up in front of me here to talk to at the moment. So, if you want to run with that, or if you want to dig around a little bit and pick something out, that's fine. I'll go ahead and take a round of check-ins here, and we'll cycle back to you a little bit down the list. That said, does anyone else have any news or announcements for this evening? If so, please call WD8QCN. All right, hearing none, let's take check-ins. Anyone wishing to check in to the FAR Sunday Night Tactical Service Net, please call WD8QCN now.
This is K1HTV.
This is Kilo Oscar 4 Whiskey Yankee X-ray, no comment.
This is K2PI.
This is K3FR. W4RKU.
KQ4CVK.
This is KN4MLX, in and out.
N2NAR, no comment.
In and out.
K4GG, in and out.
Kilo Quebec 4, Charlie Uniform Alpha, in and out.
KN4SPL, no comment.
This is KO4VNZ, no comment.
Okay, let's pause there. I've got KS1PPY lurking, K1HTV, KO4WYX, K2PI, K3FR, W4RKU, KQ4CDK,
I think that's Charlie Victor Kilo, if I copied that correctly. KN4MLX, in and out. N2NAR, no comment. K4GG. KQ4CUA, in and out. KN4SPL, no comment. And KO4VNZ. I may have missed someone in there. I did hear a double or two. If I missed you, please call again. This is WD8QCN.
WB7RAV, in and out.
KJ7APZ.
Okay, picked up WB7RAV and KJ7APV. We'll go back up to the top of the list here with Rich, K1HTV. How are you tonight? And what's new and exciting? And do you have any topic suggestions for us?
Steve, this is K1HTV in Amosville, Virginia. Let's see. Now, the RF topic is interesting. I did the survey. Piece of software I think is available online. We can insert the power you're running, the gain of the antennas, and it'll tell you what's the safe distance you can be from the antenna and still not be in a danger zone, how much power you can run with a certain gain antenna. Anyway, the FCC requires it, so you should read up about it. Let's see, I've been working the ZL7 on a number of bands, just working on 30 meters this afternoon, long path, I believe, on 30 meters, ZL7, stroke K5WE, about 5 o'clock this afternoon. On 30 meters, that's normally a path where you see Australia coming through via over Africa, and this particular contact with the ZL7 was probably via that same path, the hard way, the long way around. Today, went out to the Cold War Museum for the very first time. I just happened to run into the son of Francis Gary Powers, helped set up that the Cold War Museum with another fellow, and chatted with him for quite a while. Telling some interesting stories about his dad and about a number of things about the the history of the U-2 flight, where his dad was shot down. Looked around, and I talked to a fellow named Mike, and I think AK4GG has been doing a liaison work with Michael, and had a nice talk with him, and showed me where the Deuce will go and where the hopefully the 4-H trailer will go. I'm just curious what kind of antennas, John, AK4GG, if you're there, wonder what type of antennas we plan to use at the Cold War Museum weekend, 1st and 2nd of October. Anyway, we'll see you guys on Saturday. I'll be at the Wegmans, 8:30 Saturday morning for all that can make it. Should have a good, always have a good yak fest. Lot to talk about. Trying to think if there's anything else here. Nothing much other than the conditions are quite good considering the solar flux is around the 130 mark. It went up, Steve said it was up to like 136 maybe today. So good to see the upper bands open. That's it from here. Back to net control. This is K1HTV.
For that, Rich, that's an interesting time. Meeting some kids of famous people out there, or infamous as the case may be. Fun stuff. Let's see. I think Matt was no comment. So go down to Bob, K2PI. How are you tonight?
Hey, this is K2PI in the net. Good to hear everybody, and just been puttering around this weekend. Sort of a busy weekend for us. We did go down to the NR4M Goat Forum on Saturday, and got to see the setup down there. Also got to enjoy the company of K1HTV and many other hams. It was my XYL, KN4MLX, and KQ4BCM, two of our daughters. So I had a really nice time down there. Quite an impressive setup they've got down there for a contest station. It's a dream station for most of us, but really nice going through it, and a good group of people. Also got my very first meeting in the Potomac Valley Radio Association, so I'm going to see if I can get the next one and try to become a member. Back to net, K2PI.
All right, thanks for that. How about Ron, K3FR, what's new in your neighborhood?
WD8QCN K3FR. Not an awful lot. I've been spending a lot of time up on the mountain, just photographing and all. Ran into a fellow running a star tracker, photographing the Milky Way last night. He's getting some fairly impressive pictures, despite the fact that we're not looking at the core right now. But, no, anyway, but I heard a decoded a VK5 off of, I think it was on 15 meters, 10 or 15 meters, after the net last week. And haven't been doing an awful lot. Spent a lot of time doing maintenance chores around and cleaning up. So that's about it. WD8QCN. Looking forward to seeing everybody on Saturday, K3FR.
Sounds like a plan, Ron. Yeah, I'll get down there if I can. It's early on a Saturday for me, but might just make it this time around. This is WD8QCN with the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Net. I will go down to Kevin, I think, is next, W4RKU. How are you, sir?
WD8QCN, W4RKU. Good evening, Steve. Thanks for joining the net tonight. I haven't done a whole lot. Yesterday I was up at my station. My son, for a wedding gift, gave me one of those signs as your on, you know, my call sign and, you know, kind of like on the air thing, which is neat. And then while I was up there, I did a bit of neatening the cables that were kind of strung out all over the place. And then I've been messing around with a little bit with the space station packet fidget beater. And I actually had two people come back and said, heard ya. So that's just been a little bit of fun. And I don't have any satellites set up. I'm just using a Yagi on top of the roof. And I just kind of spin it to where, kind of in the direction the space station is. So that's kind of neat. Other than that, not much else. So I will turn it back over to you. WDAQCN, W4RKU, back to net.
Thanks for that, Kevin. Yeah, sounds like fun. I haven't played with the ISS Digi at all. Need to go poke at that now that I've got some packet stuff working again here. Sounds like fun. Let's see. Next call sign, I'm not sure if I've copied correctly. KQ4 Charlie Victor Kilo, is that correct? And if so, please give me your name.
Yes, that's correct. KQ4CVK Clint.
Okay. All right, thanks very much for the correction there. And how are you this week, and what's new and exciting in your neighborhood?
Doing pretty good here. We just got up Wendy's Comet GP6 UHF VHF antennas, and I actually had a question about grounding. I'm not sure if this is the right form for that, but I figured I would ask and see. So just let me know here.
Sure, we can take a question on grounding. That might make a good topic for tonight. We'll sip these out there poking around. Ask away.
Okay. Right now, I have my antenna on a metal mast, and I've got it bonded to my utility panel ground, probably about 20 feet away. But doing some online research, it was suggested that I drive an additional ground rod, you know, right at the antenna location. But then doing more research, people were saying that that multiple ground rods were actually bad in case of a lightning strike. So I'm just wondering if there was any definitive answer or consensus out there. Thank you.
Absolutely, I can take that one for you. I did a lot with grounding and bonding back when I was working at L3. Actually went through the Lincoln course, and we designed to Motorola R5. And having multiple ground rods is not a bad thing. The thing is, you want to have them all bonded together and have one single point that you tie everything into.
An antenna down conductor, definitely you want to have as close to the antenna as possible. Keep the grounding wire as straight as possible, no sharp bends or kinks, no passing through a metal panel or surface without bonding to that panel. Otherwise, it acts like a choke, and you don't get effective grounding for the high-frequency components there. Remember, RF and lightning are not DC. They have high-frequency AC components to them, and so passing through metal will act like a choke. A lot of people forget that. That's not something that's real obvious, especially when everyone's used to thinking of lightning as DC. It may be maybe a DC charge there, but it's also a spike, and the spike has very high frequency components to it that carry a lot of energy. So that'd be my recommendation. Make sure you tie everything together. I wouldn't go maybe straight to the service panel on the first run there. Maybe go straight to a nearby ground rod and then run another line over to the service panel and tie them all together. That'd be the way to do that. And if you've got underground water line that comes in, that's metal, tie to that as well. And fence posts in the yard actually work really well, too. I've had radials out there for years on my HF vertical. And then recently I got the brainstorm. Let me grab a nickel here. The brainstorm to tie it into the fence fabric and one of the vertical fence poles. And boy, that brought my ground resistance way, way down, along with my SWR, and the antenna performance went way up, and the noise went down as well. So that turned out to be a really good idea. So lots of neat things you can do with grounding there to improve your situation and keep your equipment safe. Hope that answers it. We'll turn it back to you. KQ4CBK from WD8QCN.
All right, that sounds good. I'll go ahead and add the additional ground rod. And I mean, right now everything is bonded, to my one utility rod, ground rod. You know, I have my equipment bonded there also. But I'll drive another one right next to my antenna, and attach that one to my new mast. I appreciate it. This is KQ4CBK back to net.
I'm quite happy to help with that one. And another interesting point is. Well, if you're making mechanical connections, I guess you want to keep them above ground, but if you're going to run your ground wire below ground surface between rods, either CAD weld and sink the whole thing below the surface, or if that's not practical and you have to use mechanical clamps, then leave the clamps above ground so you can, check, inspect, and clean them periodically. The cable you want below ground, preferably below the frost line, which around here is probably, 24 inches or so.
Okay, I'll go ahead and do that.
Makes for a little extra digging, but it will make sure you have a solid ground. And number 6 wire or larger is recommended for lightning down conductors, too. You can get bare number 6 at the hardware store pretty easily. Let's see. We got KN4MLX and N2NAR, both no comment. I think the next up is John, AK4GG.
Good evening, Steve, and the rest of the group. Thanks very much for putting out the call for the Vent Hill Farm Station special event station, K4V, Kilo 4 Victor. October the 1st and 2nd, probably starting late on October the 1st. Anyway. As regards K1HTV inquiry about the antennas, the 4H trailer, I believe, comes with its own antenna, so that's kind of nice. And for Brad's deuce, I've got a ZS6 BKW antenna that we can launch into a tree, and hopefully that will tune 20 and 40 meters okay. 10 meters, I know it's not very good, judging from, I've got exactly the same thing here. But it depends really much on the height for that particular antenna, but hopefully that will do. And, of course, we're using a antenna matching unit, so hopefully that will get rid of some of the issues from the actual transceiver, at least mask them, I guess, as far as that unit goes. Not much else to report, so back to the group. The bonding. Yeah, that was good advice here, Steve, and... I'd probably just I'm not sure. So it sort of sounded like there was a mast ground that he was going to bond to. I would probably separate my mast from my coaxes. So if there was a coax coming down the tower, I would probably tend to ground that and bond that to the back to the transceiver and let the mast have its own grounds. If lightning had the mast, it really doesn't matter too much. The more important thing is that lightning doesn't get inducted into the coax and blow up the transceiver. Anyway, and any of the operators hanging on to it. back to the group, WD8QCN, AK4GG.
Good, thanks, Bob. Yeah, good advice there. So, yeah, you might want to ground the antenna structure, you know, as close as possible, and maybe have a separate ground rod right before the coax enters the house there too. Put your surge arrestor device there on the coax and ground that there. But again, you probably want to have them all tied together at some point. You need to keep the ground potential all the same. Let's see. I think we had KQ4CUA and KN4SPL both in and out tonight. And next is Charles, KO4VNZ.
WV8QCN, this is KO4VNZ. Thanks for taking the net, Steve. I think this turns out to be a good topic, both the bonding and the safety, since the Cold War Museum is coming up. We'll have to keep safety in mind as far as keeping people back away from our antenna field and all. That's about all I had to say. Oh, other than to let John know, I'll definitely be there. I got my general ticket Saturday, so I'll be able to work. And I plan to be at the breakfast Saturday, and then I'm going to be both days at the Cold War Museum. So I'll see you all then. This is KO4VNZ back to net.
Congratulations, Chuck. Indeed, congratulations. General upgrade, that's a big one. Good deal. And thanks for volunteering to come out and help with the Vint Hill event. Use a few more. Let's see. Randy's in and out tonight. Let's see. Becca, KJ4APV, how are you?
KD8QCN, this is Kilo Juliet 7, Alpha Papa Victor. I'm doing pretty good. Keeping things kind of clear and clean, getting ready to put my antenna up and get my HF radio going. Graduating from the HD phase of my life, but it's slow going because I'm taking college again and working on my house, making progress in all the ways, but it's a little out of time. Question: that metal fence post that you grounded to, which improved your standing wave ratio, et cetera, was I couldn't imagine what it might be. Is that a chain link fence post, metal of some kind? And about the RF safety, I've been looking at it from two sides, the amateur radio side, and then taking some internet courses or webinars on EMF safety in general. People can tell you where your liabilities are by special metering your house and helping you shield things you can't turn off, helping people develop better habits so they don't have a lot of dirty electricity impacting their health and safety. So it's very interesting to see the two realms kind of overlap. I'm eager to find out more about each so I can be a benefit to the whole community for our safety. So I'll be studying that too a little bit. I guess that's about it. Back to you, WD8TCN. This is KJ7APV.
All right, thanks for that, Becca. KJ7APV, WD8QCN. I did have you written down correctly. I must have just said it wrong. So, very good. And, yeah, we'll definitely get into that topic at some point here. I just want to have a little bit more research in front of me here before I start talking to it. I did do the calculations newly about a year or so ago. I reactivated on HF here and got deep into the digital modes with the higher duty cycle. Went back and recalculated everything. Just used a spreadsheet. Didn't go crazy with the online calculators. But maybe I'll throw it back to Rich here in a minute and see which specific one he was using, or maybe he can put that up on the website. Let's see. I'm gonna go back and do pick up Sippy here. KS1PPY. He hasn't put his 2 cents in here yet, and then we'll throw it back to Rich, I think. So go ahead, Sippy. KS1PPY. WD8QCN.
WD8QCN. KS1PPY in the net. Sorry, I got back home from West Virginia going to see my grandchildren for my grandbaby's first birthday, so I walked back in the door just in time to see Mike's message about not being able to do the net, so I am ill-prepared for almost any of this stuff, but definitely prayers out to him for his wife being in the hospital. She's having a hard time, so if anybody has a prayer list going, keep Mike's wife and your prayers for good health. So the only thing I could come up with on net topic, now hold on 1 second, was the recent-ish change to the FCC announcing, actually I'll just read it off the page. FCC has announced a rule change that detailed in a lengthy 2019 report governing RF exposure standards going into effect on May 3rd, 2021. New rules do not change existing RF exposure limits, but do require that stations in all services, including amateur radio, be evaluated against existing limits unless they are exempt. For stations already in place, that evaluation must be completed by May 3rd, 2023. After May 3rd of this year, any new station or existing station modified in a way that's likely to change its RF profile, such as different antenna placement or greater power, will need to conduct an evaluation by the date of activation or change. In the RF report in the order, Commission anticipated a few parties will have to conduct reevaluations under the new rules, and such evaluations will be relatively straightforward, the FCC said in the April 2nd public notice. It nevertheless adopted a 2-year period for parties to verify and ensure compliance under the new rules. Amateur service is no longer categorically excluded from certain aspects of the rules as amended, and licensees can no longer avoid performing an RF exposure assessment simply because they are transmitting below a given power level. For most amateurs, the major difference is the removal of the categorical exclusion for amateur radio, which means that ham station owners must identify if they either qualify for an exemption or must perform a routine environmental evaluation, said Greg Leppin, chair of the ARRL RF Safety Committee and a member of the FCC Technological Council. So there is a, I'm not going to read too much further on that, but basically AM stations have until May 2023, which is, not too far off, but definitely something to keep in mind, to go through the ARRL's page, go through their little RF calculator, make sure that your station is within compliance. Not sure how they're going to enforce it, but, it makes a huge difference for things. Getting the FCC involved in your operations can be kind of problematic. Other than that, I missed the grounding question completely, but hopefully someone will address on that coming up. Hopefully that helps out with net topics, and thank you so much for picking up the net last minute. KS1PPY, back to net.
Sippy, happy to help out, and I think I addressed the grounding question there, and that's come up several times on the net, and I think that's something we should probably talk about maybe twice a year, because it's such a common issue. But thanks very much for reading that notice, and I think I did run across that last year, and that was what prompted me to rerun the calculations. So jump back over to Rich real quick here and see which calculator he was using, whether it was the ARRL1 or something different. K1HTV from WD8QCN.
WD8QCN from K1HTV. I did a Google search, and I used one that was online that was available. Since then, fellow Sam W3JDB, who was the writer of the Q-Log program for FTH for the Blind, also wrote a program for RF exposure. If you're interested in his, I believe the League's one should work out fine, but if you join the W2JDB group and groups.io, he has a software downloads file section. You can download a number of the programs, including the QLog program and the RF exposure calculator, any other programs that he's written, W2JDB at groups.io. But I think the ARRL one will work fine for everybody. As far as grounds, Steve hit the nail on the head. He pretty much nailed it, what has to be done, the proper thing to do. As far as the cables, the recommended way for cables coming down the tower is to bond the upper part of the coax cable where they come off the antennas to the tower at the top and also at the bottom. So they're all at the same potential. You don't have a cable leaving the bottom of the tower that's not grounded at the bottom of the tower. I do have ground rods every 18 feet apart and around the entire perimeter of the house connected with number 6 wire. I am using clamps. I did not do the CAD welding, which probably you should go back and do it, dig them up, but that's a pain in the neck, even have to dig, trying to find them. I did mark them with plastic caps, little plastic PVC caps where the ground rods were, but some of those caps have disappeared. The question of John, AK4GG, I went to the site today and I didn't see any trees anywhere nearby. The closest reasonably high tree for a ZS6BKW has got to be 100, 150 feet away, and it's not on the main property. It belongs to another individual who owns apparently that property. So I'm not sure where he's going to put the ZS6BKW. Curious if the survey's been done for where the antennas will go. And you might ask that over net control over to John. Back to net control, K1HTV.
Thank you, Rich. Let's see. Throw it back to John, AK4GG. Do you have an answer for that? Mr. Roger, yes, that tree is further away and actually on another property, perhaps. It's kind of difficult to know where the properties start and end, but it seems likely that it will be in a different property. But in talking with Mike, the contact at Cold War Museum, it seemed pretty reasonable that we could throw something over the top of that without upsetting the property owner. I guess we'll have to see a bit closer to the time. And there's another tree on the other side of the Cold War Museum that's much lower, that we could possibly use for the other side of the ZS6BKW antenna with a fairly long paracord or something just to pull it into. It's kind of difficult there. The other option, of course, is that I think it was FRG that offered the use of his, might have been Gil actually, OZH, offered the use of a stand-up mast that we could roll a cart tire over, and it would be supported by the tire or held in place by the tire, and we could put a beam on the top of that or use it as a as an antenna mast for one end. Another option, I guess. Haven't really looked into it in any great detail, suggestions are welcome. Thank you. WD8QCN, AK4GG.
Okay, you're far.
Thanks, John. I heard another station there didn't catch the call sign. Go ahead.
Yes, see, this is Ron, K3FR. I have used that mast of Gill's. It gives you about 25 to 30 feet. However, if you're going to use it for one end backstay for the one end of the set of 6BKW, I would recommend at least 2 rear guys behind it that would tend to keep the mast straight. That mast is primarily designed for a light beam set. It could probably handle a lightweight tri-bander, but mostly it handles VHF stuff. WDAQCN, K3FR.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ron. K3FR, WDAQCN. All right. Any other comments or back and forth on the topic of the Vinhill Farm antennas? Go ahead.
K1HTV. the probably the best antenna would be in the far field, 150 feet or so away. So you need a lot of coax to get from the bottom of the ZS6VKW across the field to the deuce, a deuce and a half, I should say. And the another option would be if anybody had a vertical. I mean, vertical is not the optimum antenna for NVIS for 40, but it's possible that somebody might, or even, who knows, maybe Brad has a mobile antenna that might work just for the what we plan to do. But if we can do a ZS6 up in a tree, you'll need a launcher, you'll need a good amount of power cable, a parachute cord, or a 3/16-inch polyester cable, and also plenty of coax to make it back, and of course, make sure that people don't trip over it. So it's a little bit more planning should go into the antenna and not do it on the day of the launch. That's it. K1HTV, back to night control.
And 7IVV. And got you also, Brad. And my suggestion would be to pick up a couple hundred feet of paracord, like you mentioned. I think Walmart sells it cheap. Tie, you know, 3 or 4 50-foot links together, and you should be good to go there. Maybe get it up in the tree that way, and not have to pull it all the way across. But then, of course, you're going to get a little bit of sag, so maybe you want to have a fiberglass pole to hold it up in the middle or something. Go ahead, Rich. IVB. Brad, go ahead.
WDAQCM, and then I added 7IVB. Mobile. Just on my way back from Points North. By the way, just for whatever it's worth, for the repeater committee, I was able to actually get work someone on our repeater from Frederick, Maryland, on the street, not even on a high point. I couldn't believe it. Scratchy, but still copyable. As far as the deuce goes, and antennas, first of all, there is a big pipe mount that actually is used to support the gun ring of a 50 caliber machine gun that they use to mount on deuce and a half, but it's up kind of right near the exhaust stack, and it'll hold a pretty sizable piece of pipe. And if somebody has something, a number of sections or whatever, a pipe that could be used as a support point to run something up in the air to get it higher than the 11 feet of the box itself of the deuce. I actually have an old Cushcraft R5 for which I rebuilt the feed box. I had to put some new ferrites in it, but I never actually reassembled it to the antenna and tested it because I bought a new antenna. So I guess what I need to do, and maybe somebody or two or three want to come down and help me test it, you know, put it back together and test it, and if that works, then that would give us 20 through 15, and 20 through 10, sorry, 5 meters, so that would also be 17, sorry, 18, 17 meters, or no, 18, you know what I mean, 5 bands, so there's that. I also have plenty of paracord.
That sounds like a plan. Do you have an antenna analyzer, or do you need the VNA?
I've got an analyzer. I just need some other eyes that sometimes see, not see, but you know what I mean. It's a little clearer than my head does sometimes, and see if I'm making a mistake, or, you know, just make sure this sort of thing works.
Yeah, maybe we can get together midweek here and take a poke at it.
Okay, well, I'm always around. 7IVV, back to
that. HTV.
K1HTV, go ahead.
Brad, will that pipe that you're talking about take some of these nesting pipes, the plastic pipes, green ones?
Deuce.
Will it take the, you know, the green ones that nest inside of each other? I know the club has some. I think Andy has a bunch of them. I think I've got some in my shed. But if we put a bunch of those together, would it fit in the pipe or over the pipe?
Oh, it would fit in. It's actually a bracket that's made to hold a pipe, and it's, gosh, at least 2 inches in diameter.
You know the green pipes I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
Those might help. Also, another thing, we're talking ZS6BKW. Also, there's no reason why we couldn't do an NFED long wire with a, you know, 49:1. John KX4O has, you know, proven that to be quite an effective antenna. So you'd only need one support in the far field and run it all the way back to the deuce into the 49:1 ballon and right inside into the deuce. That would be a simple antenna, but I think quite effective.
Steve, you
want us to go open back and forth here?
That's fine. Carry on. We're resolving an issue here, so I'll let you run.
Does anyone have an NFED, either a 40-meter or 80-meter antenna?
To be for RKU.
RKU, go.
Yeah, I happen to have a spare 80-meter NFED. What I use for my main antenna is a 135-foot long NFED that's about 40 feet up in the air. And it works great. So that's, I think the only problems I ever run into with that are on 15 meters. But on all the other bands, and that's just with getting RFI. Yeah, I mean, I have an extra if anybody, if you want to use it on, during the event, back to that. W4RKU.
Thanks, Kevin. W4RKU in the net. This is W8QCN and 7IVV. Brad, does that solve the problem?
Yeah, I was just in a bad spot going around the southern roundabout down here south of Leesburg. Yeah, I was going to say, Kevin is an expert on the long wire there, and if he's got an extra, I would definitely say that should be one of the primary antenna, but frankly, it wouldn't hurt for me to check out that vertical anyway and make it available. So, and obviously we need to do that pretty quick because we're only 2 weeks out. So, if somebody's can coordinate with me and I'll try to work on it, then we'll make that happen. And 7IVV.
Thanks, everyone. That was quick work and problem solving. All right, I think we're at the bottom of the list here. Do we have any other check-ins tonight for the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Night? If so, please call WD8QCN now.
KD4REE.
KD4REE, have you down. Good evening, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just checking in to say hi. Nothing new going on. Just listening to everyone talking about the vertical antennas and infinite antennas, and I'm still planning to buy a an infinite antenna for HF. That might be the easiest route for me to go, and then I can just get a short vertical for the upper band, so for experimentation. That's all I have. Got to get back to the homework, so 73 all in, I'll catch everyone next week. Back to the control room, KD4REE.
KD4REE, WD8QCN. All right, that sounds like a plan. Well, if we end up using Kevin's antenna there at Vent Hill, maybe you might want to come out and take a look at it and see how it performs. Might be some good data points for you there. And let's see, I think that's the end of our list. Do we have any other check-ins or rechecks? Please call WD8QCN. All right, does anyone have anything further at all for the FARA Sunday Night Tactical Service Net? Please call now.
HTV for N7IVV. Brad, I've got some of those green pipes, the nesting mast sections. Do you want me to bring them over to your place, see if we can get them connected in such a way that it could support the feed point, and then run the coax cable down it into the deuce?
Yeah, that would be very good. Just holler. I mean, like I say, I'm around all the time, and it wouldn't be at all a problem to anchor that because we've got four great big anchor points on top of that box. And that'll work great. So if you want to bring those over and we can play with that, that'll be super. And 7IVV.
Okay, I'm not sure how many we can nest together before they become unstable, but for holding a single, the end of a wire, you may have to have a back support wire. So from the far end where the trees are, where the end of the antenna is, the high impedance end, coming towards the deuce, and then having a support, a rope or two going in the opposite direction. And once it hits the mast, maybe two wires to support the backside so it doesn't bend over, because the weight of the antenna is going to want to pull it towards the away from the deuce. So I think that'll work. We'll see how many we can nest together. I'll have to go to the back of the shed and find them. I know they're back there somewhere in a bag, so I'll bring them over. Okay, I'll be in touch with you in the week. I'm in town every Wednesday around, so a little bit after noon, I can start swinging over your place if Wednesday works out. Wednesday, early afternoon.
Well, you know, I'm clear down in Remington, so I'm nowhere near Warrenton. So, but yeah, Wednesday late afternoon would be just fine. I've got a 3 o'clock meeting, I think, that I have to do. After that, would be just fine. What we'll do is we'll anchor that those pipes, those masts, to the back two corners of the box. You know, the I'll just call it the box, and that will give us plenty of guy points back there to anchor that. All right, sir. Great. Thanks. Thanks, Steve, for running the net. N7IVB.
Okay, Brad. Maybe we'll do it on Tuesday. Maybe we'll swing down to Remington on Tuesday. I'll call you on the repeater. We'll line it up. Thank you very much. Back to you, Steve. Thanks for doing the net. K1HTV.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Thanks, Brad. Anything further for the Far Sunday Night Technical Service Net, please call WD8QCN now. Hearing none, this is WD8QCN Net Control for the Far Net. Thanks to everyone for joining us tonight. If you'd like further information regarding tonight's discussion or information on FAR, please see our website at w4va.org or send an email to farnet@w4va.org. This is WD8QCN closing the FARnet and returning the repeater to normal amateur use. Thanks again to everyone who joined us tonight. Have a great evening. 7-3.